As we start the second day of practice this morning, I was thinking, what could be a good what could be a good you know contribution that I could make at the start of the day? What would be a good element to bring in? And what was coming spontaneously or clearly or seemed right for me was to maybe just say a few words about the heart qualities in this practice, how important it is, how useful or the place that it has in this practice, the what we refer as the heart, and so yeah, what about this? And you know, many of you maybe know that in the Buddhist psychology there's a list of the qualities of the heart. There's probably many ways we could talk about this, but there's a classic list of four qualities of the heart, which is the benevolence or loving kindness, so that's one. So the kind of wishing well, goodwill that is there. We talked about this a bit yesterday morning. So the goodwill, and when goodwill or wishing well or benevolence are synonymous for me, meets what is beautiful, then naturally it can rejoice. So it's joy. That's an expression of the heart, joy. And in this practice, there's a particular kind of delight that is described, and I've just recently, in the last few weeks, I was reading about it from different teachers. There's Analayo that I read, and Masi Sayadaw also was talking about this, so really revered monks in this tradition, and they were talking about the delight that one can feel when at the contact with reality, with phenomena. So this is what we're doing here. And so there's this possibility of just being here and becoming intimate with an in-breath. Suddenly there's just this, and there's a delight that can arise from that, just that, from not being buffered or veiled by, you know, all the flood of thinking and consideration and comparing and planning, and this, what's the word, abides, or, there's many words, subsides was the word I had in the back of my mind, when it subsides. And there's really suddenly, you know, just the light as we come out, or the coolness of our step that is there, and that there's a real experience of stepping, or just now, a real full experience of being here. There can be, that's one of the possibilities, that there can be delight that arises. Wow, just that. Could take the form also of contentment. And I've been often surprised, touched, or in awe because of this. I'm just doing the walking meditation, as we'll do later, and at the end of the little walking path I stop. And then just the stopping, just the being there standing, suddenly I feel an experience of contentment. It seems full. I think it's extremely powerful experience, because it shows me that my idea that I should be further along, somebody else should have acquired this, or be an improved version of Pascal already, you know, after all these years, whatever, that it would have been cooler to be doing biking by the ocean than being here, you know, all this, in that moment of presence, all these ideas, they vanish. And they're proving themselves to be just, you know, April's Fool. You know, I was fooled. I was adhering. Yes, it's true. It would be better to be somebody else, somewhere else at this time. You know, and suddenly I'm here, And there's just the body standing or turning, or there's just the sounds here in the room, and it becomes enough, plenty of reality. This is liberating. I think that's what he was pointing to. Liberated from erroneous thoughts. You know, I had a deer that I was entranced, fascinated, was believing things. They seem really real until suddenly they just collapse. And even if it lasts just a second or two, it proves our ephemeral, shaky, unstable, mirage-like they were. And so here, that's part of the path we're what we're practicing, we're walking on, is pacifying the mind, making it connect with reality in a very simple but high-quality fashion. And in this way, we'll see more clearly the nature of our delusion, confusion, how we really believe that it's later. And suddenly it's just proving in a second of not much happening that it's not later, it's now. Yeah. So the benevolence, meeting what is beautiful, meeting the beautiful mind, actually, that's a particular form of aesthetic that we're practicing, the aesthetic of the mind, in a way, of the heart. So Joyce rejoicing is born of that, can be born of that. But also, as we all know, I think, being a human being is not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing at all. And so when that stable, attentive, maybe courageous or honest mind or attention meets what is difficult, then instead of collapsing as usual or closing down or attacking or becoming confused, all the different ways, avoiding, etc. Then when there's a beautiful, wholesome encounter with what is difficult, then the door opens to compassion. And so it might not be joy, because what is here in the heart might be heaviness or confusion or discomfort in the body, or maybe something happened in the community here. Although we're in silence, we're very relational, and there can be, you know, out of confusion or this or that, that, you know, it's triggering to be with other beings. And so there can be this, so I'm sitting here with, what was that, just that encounter right there in the silence, what was that, you know? Why does this person do that? Or I might be confused, or, you know, or feel impatience, you know, ring the bell already, you know? And so if there is some kind of the right conditions, you know, the steady, and maybe slight curious, the capacity to meet what is there, if it's difficult, compassion can arise, you know. And this is known as a form of liberation. So it's not that what happened shouldn't happen, you know, that I need this to not have happened, but that I can be with this as it is right now, with care or balance, which is the other quality, four qualities. Benevolence can become joy, can become compassion, or shows up as a equilibrium, steadiness. And so that's the fields we're in, you know, we go from one to the other. In the field of just paying attention, being there, and whoops, suddenly we enter the field of joy. And then something perturbing happens, and then we just enter the field of compassion. I mean, I make it really fluid, sometimes it's a little bit more difficult, rites of passage, but that's the... Yeah, that's the thing. So kindness, compassion. We cannot force this on the mind, but we can certainly tend, value, invite, and sometimes the mind has that flexibility, the conditions are right, it arises, and it's good to be able to recognize it. So for me, expressions of equanimity, so the stable mind that is able to be with what is beautiful or what is difficult without, you know, grasping or falling into despair, which are very natural responses. No judgments around this. We're just looking for a better way to live, maybe. So what I see myself doing a lot is one of the mental note that I take often is of course, and the way it's applied for me is I'll get confused about something I just saw, something just happened, you know, somebody asked me here, do you want tea, or something, I don't know, do I want tea? I don't need much to be confused. And, you know, you might come back and, you know, somebody's where you sat yesterday, or I don't know what, you know, and I'm like, oh, what's going on, you know, I don't exist, I don't count, you know. All this, and so a lot of, internally, I feel a lot of course, Pascal, of course, my love, you have that big reaction. Of course, you do not know if you want hot water or tea. It's very confusing. Of course. You know? Somebody last year, I think, told me that I really liked that. They said, oh, emotions are 2 years old. And I thought, that's why I talk to myself like this, even if I'm almost 50. Somebody says something, I'm like, why did they say that? I said that. Why did I say that? Oh, my God, I said that. Why did I say that? Of course, it's confusing. You know, people say things, you know. Of course, you know. And I mean, if it was just what's happening here now, but we're sitting here and we create a little space of silence, and maybe the past comes back in some imagery, and you know. And so, of course, we'll be confused, and of course, we'll want to, I don't know, be somewhere else, feel something else. And so, to me, it's a way to appease my heart and mind. Of course, you're having a strong reaction. Of course you don't find your boots anymore. That's very confusing, of course. And I'm using these little examples, I don't know if it's skillful, but they also are ways to talk about the much bigger things that are happening. So of course, of course we're triggered, we're confused, of course we want something else than what is happening. Of course. And so it's a way to acknowledge that it's there and to maybe allow that emotion to be there if it's there. I'm learning a lot in many ways from Zenju Earthian Manuel. I don't know if you know. She has a beautiful book. I mean, she teaches. You can sit with her and invite her, read her book, listen to her talks. Maybe. And one of her book or her book, the book that I know of is The Way of Tenderness. And in the intro of the book, She talks about so being a practitioner like we are, and as a person of color, as a woman, as a African American woman, as a lesbian, practicing in the sangha or with teachers that were not of her maybe gender, sexual orientation, skin color. And many things she didn't recognize so much around her, and there was seems like it, I don't want to represent her because that's not my experience, but there was something that was not acknowledged, that was kind of bypassed, seemed like it didn't count, although it seemed like it was in the very middle of her experience a lot of the time. Yeah? Like somebody was telling me that George Mumford, the teacher in this tradition, really known and respected as an African-American, he was invited at a panel at the Center for Mindfulness in Massachusetts, and somebody asked him, could you tell us about a few words about being black in America? And he said, you want me to talk to you about it, about my whole life, or just the last hour in this mindfulness center? How that experience was at the center, like the experience of being of color at the center of the, or definitely very active in the last hour, you know. And so it seems like Zenju Earthen Manuel, the way she found to work with this was with complete tenderness. That was the way to hold this. Anyway, that's what I understood about her practice. And so it was not denial, it was not bypassing, oh, it doesn't count, it was no, it's right there in the exchange, I feel it, it's right there in this little exchange here, or these movements, or the arrival here this morning, or whatever, you know, it's here for me. So complete tenderness. This is how it is right now. So hard to be a human being. So hard to be with other human beings. So much confusion about what is valued in society, who we give value to, who we see, who we erase. You know? And so when I read this, my sense was that was an appropriate way to hold a lot of what is happening in a human being. So on a social level, group level, dominance and oppression, but at many other levels also of what's happening in one's personal life, one's body at the moment. You know. So here we'll be walking and sitting and walking, and that could be a really wise way to hold what is happening with. Instead of, you know, sometimes we coach ourselves, like, get over it now, you know. Okay, enough, you know, you felt that, you know. Don't want to feel this, so aversion, violence. And what about complete tenderness for feeling, I don't know, less than, or the confusion of feeling more than, or whatever else, however it shows, you know. So we're practicing this here, we're invited to practice this, and it's probably going to be useful later, the rest of the weekend in life. Okay, so delight, compassion, tenderness, friendliness, their presence and their absence, you know. Sometimes, you know, it's just not there. It's so just noticing the state of the mind. That's the instructions of the Buddha. Notice when the mind is friendly, and notice when it's unfriendly. No judgment, just notice. Okay. So if you need to feel the need to move, release the posture for a few seconds, change posture, adjust. It's always okay here to practice standing up. Huh? You can always do a few minutes, the first ones or the last ones or the ones in the middle. Thank you. feel free to practice with eyes open or closed. I'm not trying to produce anything, to achieve anything. No, we're just discovering what is there. The discovering might become a kind of an uncovering of what is there. First, we're just discovering what's there. We might discover that there's a body here, sitting or standing. We can see if this can be met with either equanimity. Oh, there is a body, this is how it is. There is a body and it feels like this. Can that be okay? Can that be known simply, directly? If it's easeful or fun or pleasant to be in the body, or delightful, just allow yourself to appreciate, rejoice, enjoy. Often it's not that easy to be incarnated, embodied. So it could be a place for tenderness. Oh, aging body, or tired body, uncomfortable body. Or maybe we fear this body, or we've judged it, we're very harsh with it, thinking it should be otherwise. So maybe there could be a little compassion for the body. And same with the breathing. The breathing might be just as it is. It can be met in order to cultivate stability of mind. Letting the attention embrace the movements of rising and falling, pacify, gather the mind. If the breathing happens to be pleasant to feel, then letting ourselves enjoy that experience of embracing, finding refuge. And the waves of the breath. And if being with the breath is uncomfortable, we could always choose a different object. Maybe also we could have compassion for this being uncomfortable with their breath. we'll discover soon enough that there's also an inner world, ambiance inside. The heart space or mind space, state of mind. It'd be okay that it's like this right now, agitated or quiet like this. A friendly meeting with the quality of our presence. If it's hard to be, difficult to be in oneself, then maybe we can bring compassion. Oh, not easy to be this being this morning. Self-compassion. If it's spacious in there, quiet or lovely in some ways, then we can appreciate that, enjoy, rejoice. Take delight. Let's see if we can stay here with the body sitting, breathing, hearing, and feeling. just noticing how it is to be here. One moment at a time. How it is to be here. We're not answering with words, but with listening, feeling, directly, simply. This is how it is to be here right now. Exactly like this. Something is alive, the breath, the body tingling, touched by heat or cold. Listening is alive, or fear is alive, or ease is alive. Notice what's alive. Let it be known. Let it be experienced one moment at a time. might be a wave of impatience that arises, or a wave of quietness, or grief, or agitation, boredom, or friendliness, tenderness. Can allow this to be known just as it is, in its oppressive nature, afflictive nature, or liberating nature, easeful nature. So I want to say just a little word about the obsessive mind, or the, you know, sometimes as practitioner we describe, you know, I want to stop thinking, but it just keeps going, and there's a theme around which it's there's a hook there, like it keeps thinking about this, about this, and I don't know, but what I'm noticing is that often, not always, but often, and check this out for yourself, the thing turns around one aspect of reality that that there's a lot of recognition and acceptance around, and it's the lack of control that is inherent in life. And so we'll be thinking a lot, like, I want to stop thinking, but I keep going to this thing. And often if we take a moment to acknowledge that either we don't know what's going to come, or that we don't have control, might help in a way, you know? So I'm obsessively thinking, what am I going to say? They say that, I'm going to say that. If they do this, I'm going to do this. And to actually take a moment and say, actually, I don't know what's going to happen. Can that be okay, that I don't know? And the answer might be no, you know? But there might be somehow where suddenly we touch at the level of acceptance of reality, actually don't know. Because we can spend a lot of time planning, rehearsing, etc. And the same time, same thing applies with the past for some reason. Like, we can want to go and fix, you know, and have control over the past, you know. Like, and the way I think Jack Kornfield and maybe other puts it is losing hope of a better past, you know. And so there's a, oh, so this is what did happen, this is what I did, or this is when the situation came to be, or it really didn't happen. Can it be okay that it didn't happen, although it created a big mess in myself, or in relationships, or in this? It did happen. Can that be okay? So acceptance, because otherwise we won't notice, and we can spend a lot of times, decades, you know, trying to organize something that is not organizable, because we actually don't know the future. And I think there's a lot of freedom to be found in, and also this is the field of compassion. This is like this for human beings. They don't know what's coming. So I can save a lot of energy by maybe preparing a little bit, finding a few plans. But the obsessively usually is related to wanting to control. And I actually don't know what's going to happen for myself, for my loved ones. Can I have the courage to name this as it is? Or look at it as it is. And I particularly like that field, because it's very, suddenly it becomes really real. We, all of us here, we actually don't know how it's going to turn out with our inner well-being or community well-being. We actually don't know. Can that be okay? Or at least okay just for now, that we don't know. And maybe that would be a, that could be a way to release some of the obsessive thinking. I don't know, maybe it will resonate for one of us here. And so, now it would be time for a walking meditation. If your family name starts with a D to a J, and you want to participate in a Q&A as a listener or as a questioner, please come on the other side there. So some of us will be having a conversation, and some of us will be walking. In the walking, if you want to explore a different way to do walking, that I personally really enjoy doing, feels useful in terms of nurturing presence and gathering the mind around reality rather than fiction. is as you walk, as you do one crossing, you could become aware of just hearing. So let that universe open up for you. Just hearing. And if it's inside, you'll hear what we're hearing now, maybe. Do you see how the reality is ephemeral, as the Buddha presented it? That things appear and disappear all the time. They're flickering, is the expression. So sound appears. You could say, oh, the vent was there the whole morning. But in our human experience, it keeps appearing and disappearing. Yeah. So I'm not talking about the nature of reality from the outside. I'm talking about the experience of a human being. For a human being, everything is flickering. People appear, disappear from their mind, from their sight. Even your toes just appeared now. They have disappeared for a little while. No? That's the shaky, flickering nature of reality for a human being. You have a good idea, it's gone. You wanted to do something, you made a lunch, it's home. You know? It's there, it's not there. If you think you're worthy of this, then you think you're unworthy for a second. You know, it's flickering. The notion we have of ourselves, you know, is flickering. The other is a friend, suddenly, for a flash in a second, perceived as an enemy. Then a friend again. Changes. Somebody's there, and suddenly, they don't exist anymore. So incredible. And so here, by paying attention, we're discovering this. That there is a body, then there's no more body, because the mind has been fascinated, entranced by something. And you'll see in the walking back and forth how, so you can do this, one walking, one crossing, let yourself hear, and then another crossing, let yourself see, become aware of seeing, colors, shapes, forms, depth, I don't know, luminosity, brightness. Then as you walk again, if you want, feel the body moving in space. Then feel just the feet in the last crossing. And start again, hearing, seeing, body, feet, stepping. Just if you want. Okay? Thank you for your consideration and the care you take of this practice. Thank you so much.